Hello, everybody. Nice to see you there. Hello to you, and hello to you, and especially to you, and especially to you. Thanks for joining us today on the Imitating Jesus podcast presented by Icon Ministries. I am your host, Ryan. Just one name, kind of diva status. And I'm joined by my fellow Icon Ministry staff members. This is my wonderful wife, Josie Nicole.
Hi, guys.
Hi. She's Josie Nicole, like Southern Belle, middle name with that. Nebraska, I should say. Mm-hmm. And we're also joined by our fellow staff member, Doug Hunt. There he is right there with his fashionable Apple AirPods that he borrowed from his son today. Looking at us quizzically here. Doug, how are we doing tonight?
I'm good. Can you guys hear me okay?
We can hear you just fine. Your face is blurry, but I prefer it that way. So, well, good to see you.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. But it's good to be here. I think things in Georgia are just blurry. It's the pollen, yeah. Probably. In the air everywhere.
Big time pollen alert. Well, thanks for joining us on the Imitating Jesus podcast here, which is a vision of Icon Ministries, and this here podcast is to see disciples everywhere loving like Jesus and to cast a kingdom vision that captures the imagination of what being a disciple of Jesus can be. So today's topic is we are going to do a part two, a continuation of last episode's discussion about making disciples in our home, making disciples within our households. So Doug, why don't you just fill us in again on the structure of your family, who you guys are, where you're at, and what you're doing?
Right. We are in Georgia, as previously noted, and the pollen. Dalton, Georgia, which is northwest Georgia, about an hour and a half or so north of Atlanta, and just south of Chattanooga, Tennessee. And our family, it's me and Shelly. We've been married since December of 1998, and we have three kids, Emily, James, and Andy. They're 17, 15, and 9, and two dogs, Otis and Henry, that are part of the process. So,
the fur babies, part of the family. Yep. I do want to say your audio sounds good. You were a little scratchy last time. I know you said you're going to take your shirt off, so you didn't have it scratching on the vest this time. So thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
Okay, Josie, tell them about us.
Yeah, Ryan and I, we live in Chicago on the north side. We've been married for almost 10 years. In June, it'll be 10 years. And we have two little munchkins, or Ryan likes to call them Muppets. Mm-hmm. We have a son, Cullen, who just turned 6 last week, and a daughter, Juniper, who's 3.5.
Fantastic. So, Josie, I'm going to ask you to kind of recap just briefly what we talked about last week regarding making disciples in the household. Before saying that, I do want to acknowledge for all of our single friends out there or couples without children, this discussion may seem like it's outside of your current reality, but we do want to acknowledge that making disciples in our home has absolutely been enriched by the singles in our lives who are our neighbors, who are our friends, who are our family. And so this isn't a time to fast forward to the next episode. I think we value that. And then later on in another episode, we'll get into more of the role singles play, specifically in making disciples and specifically within the family. But just want to acknowledge the contribution to the kingdom and to making disciples of families that singles do play. Okay, Josie, can you kind of recap where we were last time?
Yeah, well, absolutely amen to what Ryan said. Yeah, we just want to recap a little bit of what was talked about in part one so we can keep bring people up to speed who may have missed, or just to review for those of us that were a part of the call. Really three big ideas that I want to highlight. The first one being viewing ourselves and our family, our children, through a kingdom lens. So wanting, of course, to raise good people, good members of society, but that standard is too low for us if we're looking at our context and our people through a kingdom lens. So wanting to think through for our kids, what is the possibility of God in their life? Helping them learn their identity in Christ, which is an identity that is very different from the one the world offers us. And then praying, God, help me see my kids the way that you see my kids. And praying that prayer and trusting that God can use that prayer to help us be moms and dads that love the Lord and love our kids well. The second big idea we talked through was imitation. We kind of thought through Deuteronomy 6 and that role in disciple making and with our children. So Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk alongside the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." So often I feel like my question and many people's questions is, so what do I need to do? Like, give me the bullet point, give me the list, give me the resources. What do I need to do with my kids? But really focusing more on, who are you going to be as a parent? Who are you going to be as a mom, as a dad? Because discipleship, family discipleship begins with the parent's own being. And that idea of stirring our own affections for the Lord and how the overflow of that, the cascading down of that, reaches our kids. So Deuteronomy 6 is not just an instruction manual for how to host a family worship or a family devotion, but it's an invitation to a way of life where parents are taking advantage of all the teachable moments to share the way of God, the values of God, and the kingdom of God, and helping our children to understand who they are and to whom they belong, that we're part of the grand narrative of the Bible, and we are brought into that story. And then the third big idea that we hit on was grace. That idea, we want to create an environment of vulnerability with our kids, where grace is experienced and where it abounds, where we get, it becomes a bit more normal to apologize to our children, to own our sin, to own our mistakes, to admit our weaknesses, repenting, forgiving. Mom and dads make mistakes, and we are in need of God's grace just as much as our kids are. And we're journeying together, and we are co-partakers of the grace of God together. So those were kind of three of the themes that were drawn out from part one. And so now we're going to jump into part two.
So we were essentially, Doug, working through kind of a series of articles that you wrote on making disciples in the home. Josie just kind of summed those up. Would you like to correct her?
Yeah.
Or fill in any blanks. So,
she's good. She did great.
Okay, great. Fantastic. Okay, Doug, then let me throw this out to you. I know many parents feel unqualified or maybe even ill-equipped to be the primary, to take the primary responsibility for discipling their kids. And the idea of intentionally conducting family rhythms as instructed in the Deuteronomy passages that Josie read can be overwhelming, confusing, intimidating, and ultimately even defeating. So, Doug, what would you say to demystify the process of discipling our family in our home? What would you say to make it more attainable? What would you say to parents who feel unqualified or frustrated in their attempts to make disciples in their family?
Yeah, that's a huge question. And a couple of things first. Now, one is that is a very normal way to feel, because when someone says, spiritually lead or disciple your children, that sounds so weighty in a way. I mean, it sounds like, what do you mean? Do those things. Who am I? I'm just a regular guy. I'm just a regular woman, whatever. And so I think I would want to set everybody at ease and just let let people know they're not alone in that feeling. I feel that still. You know, I've had been married for 20, almost 23. It'll be 23 years this year. I've been a dad for over 17 years, and I still feel those things. And I walk in that of am I doing this right, or what am I doing? And so, you know, that it's not that a husband or dad or wife or mom, that they need to have all of the answers today. That's not it. It's not that they don't, you don't need to be perfect. You don't need to have it all figured out. You don't have to have all of that stuff. And that is okay. And I think that's where the grace of God in the process is such a beautiful thing. And God knows that. He knows, our Father in heaven knows that we are very limited, and that we are fragile, and that we're scared, and we're insecure, and we don't know what we're doing. And he loves us, and he fills us with his Holy Spirit in that. So there's a huge encouragement in it, that in our fear, that we have the Spirit of God in us, helping us. And then I would say with that, you know, and just say that that's okay, and God is with you in that. But it's also to understand it from the perspective that, you know, and I'm speaking from, I'll speak specifically from, you know, the parent role. Mm-hmm. When God made me the dad of my kids, you know, for whatever reason, that was in the sovereignty and in the plan of God for me to be Emily's dad, James's dad, and Andy's dad, which that must mean if that's in the plan of God, then I am the person for the job. He wouldn't have made us their parents, would have made me and Shelley their parents if his confidence, purpose wasn't with us in that. And so it's all part of the plan of God. And so there's like this huge thing in it. It's, you know, it's a big thought, but it's God's thought. And so he must have a way in it for us. And for me, that helps me. That's really comforting. You know, my kids have seen me at, you know, my best and my worst. My wife has seen me at my best and my worst spiritually and in all of it. But that doesn't take away from this beautiful journey we get to be on. And so I would tell, you know, a husband or a wife, a mom or dad, that you are the person for the job of raising disciples in your home, and you can do it. That you are the person, you have what it takes to do it. And you don't have to be a spiritual genius to raise great followers of Jesus in your home. Just be you and follow Jesus. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. that would have been bad if that was a qualification.
And I wonder, Doug, too, like historically, what has our approach to church and to ministry, what is that communicated to parents in terms of like kind of what I'm thinking is that, you know, leave the spiritual training of your children to the professionals, you know, drop them off on Sunday and on Wednesday and at Bible studies, right, which are all really, really good things that we, you know, want our kids to be a part of. But to the detriment, it's like, we have the skill, we have the education, leave it up to us. We'll do this job for you. And you parent your kids in other areas. And so I wonder how that has affected us as parents, even feeling that ineptness or the fear or the insecurities, because we've never really, as parents, I think it's maybe becoming more normal now for churches to really, you know, throw the ball up in the air and let the parents just smash it, right? Just crush it. Because the church is wanting to come alongside and support and equip and put the ball back in the hands of the parents.
So
I feel like I'm seeing that more, but I'm wondering how much of our insecurity in doing this or embracing this role is because so often and for so long we've been taught like there's professionals that can do this for us.
And I have been that professional, you know, and some of my best friends in the world are in those kind of roles, and I'm grateful for them, you
Yeah.
know. And but I and to me, if you go back a year ago when COVID really changed everything, you know, and shut things down, and sort of the, you know, typical expressions of church had to change, I guess, and while people were staying home, is that it really, for me, and you know, and I can just speak for me and my family. To me, that was kind of an eye-opening season of us seeing that about us. Of okay, now you know, we're not physically gathering with a bunch of people. Our kids aren't taking part in these things that they might normally take part in, and I really felt to another degree the urgency or the responsibility to be the spiritual guide for my family. And I don't think it's been, you know, obviously it's not been any purposeful thing. You know, our system, though, just the way the church systems are made, it makes it easy to drop your kid off. And that's not a bad thing, but it just makes it easy. And so subconsciously, it can really take the pressure off of mom and dad to really figure it out. And you know, nobody's trying to make it that way, but it's just the system makes it that way. And so it has been, I think, cool I think in the last several years of really, and I've been in some of these conversations of leaders saying, hey, we want to really partner with parents better, or equip parents better. And that's made it, and I think as that effort has been made, it does, you know, there are parents that are going, well, I just don't know if I can do that. I've never had to really think about that. Can I do that? And so I think some of that's all being revealed, and I think maybe more intensely in the last year or so. And I think for us, it is, what do we, you know, as moms and dads and husbands and wives, what are we going to do with that? So I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, but because I think we're still figuring that out. But I think there is a training that all of us have experienced, whether we realize it or not, that, hey, let's leave it up to a certain group of people.
Yeah.
And we're in the process of unlearning that and going, okay, I can do this. So.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what helped demystify what it looks like to disciple your family in your home for me. Like when we got married 10 years ago, like I didn't know what I was doing. I read some books. I was voted by the Urbandale High School class of 1996 to be the most likely to be the best parent. So I had that going for me because,
Sure, that's true.
I mean, if 250 18-year-olds in Des Moines, Iowa don't know what they're talking about, then yeah. Aside from that, though, Josie and I signed up for a 2-year parenting internship program. And what I mean by that is we moved to Africa and lived in a house with a family with 5 children. And we were married with no kids. And just living in their house, watching Don and Aaron love their children, lead their children towards the Lord. Like it was the most foundational education, apart from that which we observed from our own parents. I mean, it was remarkable. Like the 10 years later, we are still drawing back to those days when we lived with, I'm always like, how would Don handle this? I'm about to punch my kid in the nose because I'm so frustrated. What would Don do? I got my WWDD bracelet on. What would Don do in this situation?
And I
But
have my WWED. What would Aaron do in this
yeah, because
situation?
they were just so intentional as parents, and it was amazing to watch close. So I would recommend everybody move to Africa, find
Right. We're
family
doing
with
that
five
tomorrow.
children, just go for it. No, but the principle there being find someone who's further down along the trail and walk next to them. Like, and force your way into their lives if you have to. If they have a lot of kids, they won't even notice if there's extra people hanging around. But really, I mean, that one of the, what made this real, what showed me practically what this looks like is having an up close view of watching somebody do it. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to figure it out ourselves. Pull up your cart alongside somebody who's doing it.
Absolutely. You know, one of the three or four guys that I would really say are like mentors to me. One of those is a dad of four daughters, and they're all either college age or even in parent age. So they're all basically adults. And, you know, for there was a stretch of time a couple of years ago where I was calling him regularly and saying, okay, you know, as the dad of a teenage girl, you know, help me, you know, just help me just in general. You know, throw me a life raft or something. But it was so good just to get the wisdom from somebody else who is a little further down the road, and just the encouragement that, you know, that you can do it is huge.
Huge. Mm-hmm. Josie, anything else you wanted to say to that idea of how do we feel qualified? How do we feel like we can do it?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you guys did a great job.
Well, let's move on then to kind of get to some real practical things, some practices within our families that we can do, simple things, but significant things that can help disciple our children and build that atmosphere and culture in our family. So, Doug, do you have any thoughts on that?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Good.
That's why I'm here, to learn from you.
Yeah.
I do. And as I have thought about this so much in the last few days, one of the things that I want to make sure that I say is, I get nervous talking about this because I still feel like I'm learning so much. And, you know, your kids change, you know, they're always growing and they're changing. And so they're needs change, and my three kids are all three very different, and so each of them needs sort of a different approach to my leadership. And then there's Shelley and our marriage, and so I do not have it figured out, and I don't want to say anything that would communicate that, okay, here's the four things you do and this is what we do and this is how everybody should do it, because that's not the case at all. The things that I try to keep in mind, and this is what I would say to anyone, is one is just practically under the idea of expectations of yourself and expectations of your family, of really keeping those things before the Lord. And that goes back to, you do not have to expect yourself to jump into this and have it figured out and have the game plan that's going to work. You know, it's not about figuring, okay, for the next 12 years of my kid's life, I'm going to do A, I'm going to do B, and the outcome is going to be C, and that, which is them being all like Jesus. So don't put a burden on yourself to be something, you know, today, you know, learn in it and grow in it. And then don't put an expectation on your family. As if you're stepping into discipleship at home for the first time, don't put this expectation on your kids that all of a sudden they're going to dive in and be so pumped about all of this, you know, conversation or whatever, because they may not be. But then also practically thinking about discipleship in the home as a long-term process, that it's not quick fix kind of things. How do we quickly make our family better? But it is, how do we stay on the long journey together towards Jesus? How do I keep that view of life in the kingdom before my kids? So those things are really, really big for me, of thinking about expectations, thinking about process, and understanding that it's a long, long journey. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And then for me, and I'm going to get, you know, really, really practical here in a second, but I have to set it all up with these couple of things. For me and our family, there is a goal that I have for our family all the time as it comes to the things of God. And it's pretty simple. And it really does come out of what we learn in Deuteronomy. It's this for us. It's that the things of God would be woven into the normal fabric of our life as a family. It should be normal. And, you know, and in Deuteronomy, it's talking about, hey, talk about these things when you're walking down the road. Talk about them when you're, you know, lying there in bed. You know, just let it be normal. And so for us, I don't want it ever to be weird when the Word of God is brought up, or the name of Jesus is brought up, or we pray it, you know, I don't want it to be this out of the blue. Okay. What happened all of a sudden? Why are we? And so for me, it's not about, okay, we just need this regimen of things, but how do we keep the conversation of Jesus as a regular part of our life? Yeah. And so there's been very practical things that we've done throughout the years, and those have changed. You know, there were things that we did very regularly with Emily and James, our older two, early in their life, and we did them then, and that's not what we do now. But the goal is the same: is how do we keep the conversation of Jesus going?
Yeah.
And so as those practicalities change over time, there's some things that are constants in it for us. One is the ultimate goal of becoming like Jesus. No matter what we're doing, that's where all this is going. It's not just, hey, let's just make sure we have a better tomorrow, but how do we keep the conversation towards Jesus? The Word of God is always a part in some way in the consistent conversation. Prayer, you know, so it's just the regular stuff. You know, we want it. We want it to never feel odd that Dad happens to bring his Bible to the dinner table to read something. You know, it just happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or never to be weird that we're going to pray in certain ways. And then the sort of the fourth thing that is always there is the constant conversation and challenge to love one another. Even in our family, we have to be challenged to that. And so for us, here are some practical things. And interrupt me anytime and ask a question to clarify. So here are some things that we have done at different times to weave the things of God into our family. In the early years of Emily and James, there was a season, and every now and then we'll refer to sort of a certain thing that we do. We'll call it family church, you know, just to kind of have a like, okay, this is family church time. And that's looked like a lot of things. But earlier in their life, and I don't remember the guide or whatever it was we used, but we walked through the whole story of God from Genesis to Revelation over the course of a few weeks. And it was basically me just telling, you know, reading some scripture and telling the story. And then when we would get done, Emily and James would both draw a picture of that story and hang it up in our living room. And so that was this one time, there was just little kid colorings just hanging up in the living room of the story of God to tell. And it was really to help them at a young age have the big picture of the whole story of God and creation and getting to Jesus, getting to the cross. So those were little nuggets. I mean, those are 10-minute conversations where I talk about, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it all starts with God, and none of it would be here without him. And he made things, and he's a creator, and he made all the animals and all of this stuff. And it's just that, you know, it's just telling the story and letting them ask questions and praying. So we did that, and then things that I think are really important, and there's a challenge in this to mom and dad, and that is passing on, looking for opportunities to pass on to your kids the things that you are thinking about or learning about God.
Yeah.
And you see, you know, it's all throughout the Bible, faith, it's and Paul talks about imitate me as I imitate Christ. That is the same with parents and their kids. It is, you know, Emily and James and Andy, follow me as I follow Jesus. Follow me and Shelley as we follow Jesus. And so the challenge in that is for me is I've got to be growing as a follower of Jesus. And then what are the things that are happening in my life that I can just share with my kids so that they can know this is what's happening in Dad's heart. And if it's happening in Dad's heart and Dad is responsible for this family, then the whole family needs to be brought into my heart. And a great example, this was maybe a week ago. I was having lunch with a friend and we got into this great conversation about, we're talking about faith and how easy it is and how sad it is for how easy it is for us to forget about how faithful God is in our lives. You know, that he'll be really faithful. And then, you know, we'll get down the road and we'll doubt God. And we were just talking about how we are. And it was a super challenging conversation for me and reminded me of the Israelites, Psalm 78, where that was what that whole story was. It was a psalm of highlighting the sin of spiritual amnesia, for, you know, I guess that's a way to call it. And so we've gotten a great conversation about that. And then I think it was maybe that night or the next night at dinner, I just shared with my family. I mean, it was super chill conversation. We're eating and I'm saying, you know, I was at lunch and this is a thing that God has kind of reminded me about, is to remember how faithful he's been. And I asked all of us, you know, so what, just asked, you know, what are some things that God has done that you want to make sure that you don't forget, to remind you of how faithful he is? And everybody had something, you know, and it wasn't these giant things of huge depth from everybody's, you know, sometimes it, you know, for my little guy, for Andy, it was, well, I was nervous about changing schools and I need to remember that God made that a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. And yeah. I made some new friends, you know, but it was an easy way for me to create, to share with what God was doing in me and bring my family into that conversation. I didn't have to have a, you know, big, there wasn't a big Bible study. It was just, here's what God's doing.
Yeah.
What do y'all think?
We, a friend of ours, Dale Shouse, he talks about the disciple making process is, you know, as we are going and we are doing all that we can to obey the commands and the call of Jesus, then we invite other people to walk alongside of us. And that's what it sounds like you're doing. You're just taking what you are processing with the Lord and then just inviting your kids into, hey, this is what Dad was thinking about today. What do you guys think about that?
And to me, that's sort of a demystifying thing. Now, the challenge is for us as mom and dad is, hey, let's make sure we're pursuing Jesus ourselves so that there's something to pass on. But I don't have to create this whole other thing over here of like, what am I going to come up with to say? No, just share what God's doing in my own heart. Mm-hmm. So that's a big deal for us and for me. Another thing that is that we will use or take advantage of are just the simple things in the calendar year. You know, like we just came off of Easter and Holy Week, and again, it's how do we weave all of this into the fabric and of our home. And Holy Week for us was a very busy week. That was travel, that was kid things going on, but a couple of days, you know, in a way easy to communicate. I just kept that with me for the week and would look at it. And we were traveling. We were on a trip, and each day of that trip, you know, at some point in the day, I just made it a point to say, hey, you know what day it is in Holy Week. And we would just talk about it. And by the end of the week, there was, I think it was maybe the Saturday, so Jesus is in the grave, and one of my kids, it was really cool because one of my kids just said, so what was happening today, Dad? And so and that may not seem like a big deal, but it was to me that we have kept the story of Jesus on the mind of our kids just by utilizing what was already happening. And it, they were, again, it wasn't, I wasn't given 20-minute Bible studies on anything. It was, this is what was happening in real history on this day. Can you imagine what that must have been like? And so it's just utilizing the calendar, you know, utilizing things like Passover, the Christmas season with daily Advent kind of things that we've done. One really cool thing we did for years is the Advent Jesse tree, which anybody can go look that up. And that's a super cool daily family deal. Another thing that that we do, and we'll do this periodically, and it really comes out of Hebrews, where it says, let us consider how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds. Is we'll do this in a couple of ways. One is we'll put everybody's name in a hat in the family, and everybody draws a name out. And the assignment is, you know, in the next 24 hours, you need to do something to let that family member know that you love them, and say something specific to them or do something for them that communicates how much you love them. And that's just helping us think a little bit more deeply about, well, I'm just thankful that mom does the laundry, you know, kind of stuff. But, you know, that really pushes us. And I still have some of those notes that, you know, were written to me, or, you know, those things. And so and we'll come back to another way that we'll do that is every now and then we will have sort of the person of the night at dinner. And so if it's Shelly night, everybody else in the family shares some things that they really love about just her. So it's just about her. And we ask her how we can pray for her. We pray for her. And so really it's trying to build in our family a culture of encouragement and love. And as Paul would say in Philippians 2, of considering each other more important than yourself.
Yeah.
But all of those things are just built into dinner time. They're built into car rides. And then there will be times where we will sit down in the living room and I'll say, hey, we're going to spend some time in the Gospel of John together. And we'll have there's a great resource. And I think my friend Zach is on here listening. That he pointed me to, and it's an app, and it's called Read the Bible. Not the most creative thing name in the world. It's called Read the Bible.
But what's it about?
It's about this book that I'll share with you sometime. But it has just great resources of videos that creatively tell the backstory of different parts of the Bible. They give questions and reading plans, and it's a really cool app, and you can pull these videos up on your phone and shoot them to your TV and all that. But there'll be times where we really sit together in the Word of God. And there's, you know, a bazillion. The Bible Project, Zach just commented. I don't think you're right, Zach. I think it's called Read the Bible. I think you need to look on your phone at that app, because I'm pretty sure you're wrong.
Although the Bible Project is amazing, Zach.
Project is good, but that's not what I'm talking about. And I promise you're wrong. So there's a lot of little things that we do that are always along the way, and they're very practical. And again, what those little things do is they keep the door open for Read Scripture app, he says. That's what it's called. I'm still not sure. But they keep the door open for deeper conversation that happens. So it's very intentional. It's very intentional in using things like the calendar. It's very intentional in me finding times to share what God is doing in my life. It's very intentional in pushing them to love each other. Finding ways to just keep the conversation going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you're saying don't just swing for a grand slam once a year and try to baptize your kids every Easter. But it's 100 touch points, 1,000 touch points that just keep weaving. But I think I like what you said about weaving the story of God like into the normal fabric of our life. And when you think about weaving, you just think about a needle going in and out, in and out, in and out. It is not one big stroke, not one big string. It's just in and out, in and out.
Yeah. And then there's those moments where they are, you know, a little more what might come to somebody's mind of, you know, family Bible study or whatever. You do that. And there's times when we'll do that very regularly because that's what's right in that time. And for me, it's just getting trying to keep my finger on the pulse of this is where my family is. This is going to be right for this moment. Yeah. And I'll be quiet here, but I want to say this too. And again, it comes back to, you know, we're still learning this. And if you were to walk into my house right now with my family, it's not like we're all floating around, you know, with halos in our head and everybody's holy. You know, we are a work in progress family. And, but, you know, it is becoming more and more normal over the years it has for us to be okay with being on the journey together and figuring it out together. So,
Doug, I want to ask, what does that look like for you and Shelly as mom, dad, in terms of who takes responsibility for what, or is it pretty much just like, as things come up, you take your own initiative? How have you worked that out in your family dynamic?
Shelly's in charge. I mean, it's just really, she just tells me, you know, gives me the playbook, says, run the play. It is such a partnership with us. And here's an example from a couple of days ago. Is we had a lunch date. This was on Saturday, and we were out for a couple of hours. And part of that date at our lunch was we talked through every kid in our family on how do we think they're doing, and you know what do you you know, and not just I mean it was spiritual things, practical things, emotional things, but we were like, okay, what are you seeing and. James's life right now, what do we need to think about for him, you know? And so it's never, she's going to have a very unique perspective, you know, as a mom, as a lady, and the way that her brain, operates and mine are super different. And so we're both going to see different things and ask different questions. And so, we, a big part of it for us is, regular communication. There are some natural dynamics that we just lean on in our family too, of like the mother, daughter, father, son, where we know things are going to be, I don't know if easier is the right word, but maybe more effective in the moment. But we're always in tune with that. So I'm probably the one that, you know, might bring up a conversation more, but that's not really necessarily by a, you know, predetermined design. So I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, Josie.
Yeah, definitely. There's not a right or a wrong, obviously, with this. I was just curious how this leadership, this intentionality, how it plays out with you and Shelly together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty natural. And again, that's one of those things that, you know, and I can think of many times along the way where I've said, hey, I've thought about us doing this as a family. What do you think about that? Do you think that would be a good thing? You know, and I need, and our family needs both of us in that conversation.
Yeah.
Josie, do you have any thoughts on practical things that people can do in their families to disciple the children?
Yeah, I just think going back again to Deuteronomy 6, it wasn't that God was trying to add more into our lives in terms of tasks and responsibilities in that way, like let's add more or shove more into it. But it was more like we're saying, then finding the natural rhythm of your family. It's basically repurposing your time, right? And what you're saying, Doug, in the examples you have given, a lot of them are just that. It's not like you're having to add more things into your schedule. But it's just repurposing that time and living intentionally. And I think that that's beautiful. And I feel like it's very, to me, empowering. I think about that and I'm like, that seems doable. Like, as long as I'm attentive and as long as I'm willing to be courageous, I feel like I could share about what God is doing in my life or what I'm thinking about right now or what I'm struggling with. And how could I share that at an age appropriate level with my kids? I think consistency to me is, I think our goal sometimes is like this idealized or romanticized like perfection or, you know, family devotion and our family worship. It should be very spiritual, but almost like you saying, you did maybe have a set time and seasons where there was a gathering in the family room and family church, but even just practicing consistency, I think, and like you said, not making, like normalizing that conversation of spirituality and gospel conversation, that it is woven into our family DNA. I like those things. I would say, like, for us at this point, at this stage, one of the things that I have learned a lot from Don and Aaron when we lived in Ghana was that idea of our goal not being behavior modification, our goal being like we're parenting the heart of our child, that idea of like heart mining, right? I think we as adults and then even as kids, we definitely lack self-understanding. We lack spiritual understanding. And so I think being able to like help our kids, you know, rather than dishing out consequences for behavior, how could we come alongside our kids and help them understand, why did you make that choice? Getting more at the heart level and just asking questions of our kids and trying to gain clarity. And it's almost just like a peek into their little soul, right? And so... Yeah, I just really appreciated kind of that perspective as it comes to discipling my kids. How can I look at, you know, my kids' misbehavior or failure or weakness or just very clear sin? Sometimes as a mom who is at home and also working from home, I see those things as a disruption, an interruption. It's my kids are ruining my goals for the day by interrupting me with this behavior. And reframing it, I think, and seeing it as an opportunity, not a hassle. And knowing that it's never an accident when I see these things in my kids, it's the grace of God, because it is an opportunity for a teachable moment, for instruction, for empathy, and just care for that connection. And it's just building more and more trust, but helping our kids understand their hearts and why they're behaving that way. I think as Christians, our worldview is, you know, creation and the fall and redemption and restoration, and kind of using that worldview to help our kids understand their own condition, their own state, and why they may make the decisions they do. But then how does what Jesus did affect them? How does it affect their hearts? How does it change their behavior? And so, just kind of guiding them in some of that. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you, Doug, in terms of that long game. I mean, that's being a parent of littles. Sometimes I forget. I'm just like caught up in the mess of the house and having to, you know, bathe my kids and do most everything for my kids still at this stage. That I forget the long game. I'm so caught up in the here and now, and even like maybe I can think about tomorrow or possibly the end of the week. But I love that idea of this, like, how can I lift my chin and look out grab the larger perspective. You know, thinking of it not in just like this year, but even like 18 years, 25 years. And, you know, what is our goal with our kids? So I really love that there's not a quick fix. We're not short-sighted in our parenting, but how can we really focus on long-term transformation of our kids? And how does that then affect our parenting today?
And I'm with you that whole thought on, you know, shepherding their heart, not their behavior, is such a big deal. And it's hard. It's hard when you're tired and you're, you know. And yeah. I think I just join in with all parents that would say, yeah, that's a tough one. But it is so true. And I mean, just a little while ago, I'm sitting on the floor with one of my kids playing Legos. And it wasn't my 17-year-old daughter. So she's, you know, we don't sit on the floor and play Legos. But it was and Andy, my little guy, you know, he'll ask the most, you know, amazing questions sometimes. But we're just playing and he says, Dad, would you call me a laid back guy? You know, and I'm like, where did that come from? But it was just this so, and I thought, what an interesting question. And it went into this great conversation about some things in his life that me and Shelley were talking about the other day that we've noticed that, you know, that indicates something about his heart. And I could have easily said yes or no to that question and gone back to building this amazing thing that I was building. I should have brought it to show you. But hearing the question, realizing, okay, maybe this is a Holy Spirit question that can be a part of a little conversation to help him see some things about himself and about his heart. And so it is about that perspective. It's about having a perspective that it's not, I want to make them nice people. I want them to follow Jesus. And it's great if they're nice, you know, people who follow Jesus should be nice, but that's not the end.
Yeah. Ryan, I'm curious. Yeah. What are your thoughts about this? What would you say?
I'd say you guys have said it well. Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. We'll wrap it up here. Any last thoughts, Josie or Doug, you guys want to share?
Well, I if someone were listening and say, okay, I am new to this thought. Where do I begin? How would you guys answer that question? Where do I start?
Yeah, I would say just start with one little thing. Maybe that's just praying with my children every night. Maybe that's not been something we do as our family, or maybe it's just been a God, thanks for this food kind of prayer fabric. And I would say just choose one little thing and start doing it. And praying with your family, taking each year, spending an hour a week with each of your kids just one-on-one. And seeing what questions they ask, see what things come up as it's just you and them. Start with one thing, just reading a Bible story at breakfast table or at the dinner table and read it together and say, what do you guys think about that? Just starting with one simple thing.
Yeah.
What about you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think small changes usually are the more enduring changes that you can make. So I agree with that. I would say talk to other parents. You know, if you're just struggling to put the pieces together and you're just not sure, or you're really struggling with insecurity or doubt, self-doubt, just like call your best people up and get encouragement from them, get ideas from them. Because that's why we have friends, and that's why we need people alongside us in this journey, so that we can mutually encourage each other and pick each other's brains and support one another. So phone a friend. Go ahead, Doug.
No, I was just laughing at the phone a friend.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, I almost think we put too much pressure on ourselves.
Yeah.
I think that we sometimes believe that we do have the power to save our children and that our parenting style is going to save our child. And so I just want to relieve us from that pressure, because it's not true. Because it really is the power of God in our kids' lives. And of course, we are a tool in God's hands for forming the souls of our kids. We are a tool, but we are not the tool. And God is good, and he's going to use you and your spouse and your child's siblings, like as a family. He's going to use teachers and coaches and friends. I mean, he has a whole network of people that he's going to use. So the pressure is not solely on your shoulders. So I just want to relieve us of that. And I would just say, pray. If you don't know where to start, just pray and take to God all of your, all the doubts that you have about this, or all the questions that you have, or all the fears that you have, and just start there and ask God some questions and see how he answers them in the next days or weeks or months, and see where he takes your family.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I would just say, as a final exhortation, to any of us who are just still feeling like, I don't know if this is for me, I don't know if I can do this. When Josie was giving birth to our first child, she did it naturally. We hired a doula to help us with that. And with the doula, we helped develop some mantras, some things that my role in the room was just to kind of repeat these things over and over again to help Josie as she's fighting and struggling to do something that seems impossible, to keep those things in mind. And one of those was that, Josie, you were created to do this. God made your body to do this. He designed you to do this. In the middle of the process, you may feel like there's no way this is happening. There's no, I'm trying to fit a watermelon through a 1-inch pipe, and this is not happening. But just to remember those promises always, that God created us to do this. And as parents, we were created to do this. God designed us to do this. And sometimes it may feel like there's no way I can do this. There's no way. You don't understand my kids. You don't understand my husband. You don't understand our family schedule and rhythms. Like, we just can't do it. And I just want to gently remind us the same thing that I need to remind myself frequently, is that if we have breath in our lungs and Christ in our hearts, then we have been called to make disciples. And there's no greater mission field than our family. And the flip side is, if we don't disciple our children, the world will. So I would encourage us all just to assume the spiritual responsibility for our children, because this is not just one of our responsibilities. This is the responsibility. I mean, feeding them and giving a place to sleep inside, those are good. But chiefly, at the end of the day, we are ambassadors of Christ and of God to our children. And just as God has given us that responsibility, so he will also supply the means. We just got to take that step. Mm-hmm. Anything else, Doug, Josie?
Nope. That was awesome.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all for listening on today's podcast about making disciples in the home. You can head over to iconministries.org for other articles or resources or videos about making disciples. Icon is a faith-based ministry. We rely on the gifts of God's people to keep the ministry going. We've been blessed by scores and scores of people who support us in this work. So if you'd like to look into that, just go to the iconministries.org page and look for the donate button. Thank you, Doug, for joining us. We love you, brother. You are a blessing always. If you all have appreciated Doug's insights this evening, you can also give towards his important ministry with a one-time gift or become a ministry partner of Doug and Shelley's. They make disciples of millennials, Gen Z's, Gen Alpha, whatever is next, whatever the babies are. I don't even know what they are yet. But check out iconministries.org for more info there. Thanks again for listening. Thank you, lovely wife, for joining us. And we'll see you next time. Doug.
Thank you, guys.
Do the theme music, Doug.
That's it. So I'm still working on it.
It's snappy. It's the snap.
It is.
All right.
All right. Bye, Doug.
See you next
time. See you guys.